Hey, welcome back.
Welcome to another episode of
Dose Virgos.
I'm Angie.
I'm Asia.
And we are, and you know who we are because you've been listening.
And you're back, so you had to know our name to get back here.
Welcome back again. Yo, our followers have been going up.
Have they? I haven't checked. Yeah. That's good to know.
And we got some good listens, so we really appreciate all the people who have, like, listened.
Yeah, thank you. It feels good to know people want to hear what we have to say.
Yep, and we got some good reviews, so we appreciate those.
Yeah, thank you. Yeah. We love feedback.
We do.
It helps us know we're on the right track.
Comment.
Yes, please.
So today's going to be a little bit different take. We're going to be talking, well, I mean, of course, we're going to talk about our week and all that, but we're also going to talk on, like, some current event stuff. There's been a lot of craziness happening.
Yeah, you know, Instagram is my news. There's been some tomfoolery that we want to just talk about.
Yeah, and so that's going to be fun. So we're going to get into that. So how was your week, Asia?
My week, what's today, Thursday?
Today is Thursday, but we will be releasing on Friday.
Right. This week has been really quick, actually. I was off last week because I had a visitor.
Nice.
So this is like my first week back to work.
I haven't seen you in like 2 weeks.
I know. It's been.
You
had
a pop in 2 weeks.
I did. It was
on me.
It was a, you know what? I had several visitors in the month of October, and because of that, it was like I'm with them or I'm working.
Yeah.
And that was it. So it was like working every day that I wasn't seeing people, and so I was a little tired, so having last week off was really good, but it was a good week. I mean, nothing has happened.
Okay, cool.
That I can think of.
You went to a wedding.
I went to a wedding, yes. That's I went nice. To a Nigerian Ghanaian, did I say that right?
Yeah.
Wedding. It was good.
Well, this makes me want to dance, all that African love.
Well, this was the white wedding.
Oh, okay.
So it was very
low key. It was like a two-step then. No.
Yeah, it was one step.
It was.
But there was so much food, and I love a party that feeds me.
I love an open bar.
Oh, yes. See, I was driving, so I really couldn't go in like I would have wanted to.
Yeah.
But there was open bar, and they left a bottle of wine and champagne at our table. Yeah. But
that's
I had to stop because I was like, I don't want to. I had to drive through like the canyon. It was in Malibu.
Yeah.
So I had to drive through the canyon to get back to like where I live.
Horrible.
So I was like, nah, I can't be drunk on these winding roads, freaking in the pitch blackness of
this Malibu Canyon. I hate LA in these hills. I was stuck in the hills today. I don't even know how I got there. I think sometimes, like, with traffic, it detours you up.
Oh,
into the
yeah,
mountains.
It does, yeah.
And I hate that.
Yeah.
And then have you tried to turn around on a freaking hill?
Never.
I went the wrong way and then I had to turn around in that tight, and I was like hoping no one was coming down.
Oh, that's very scary.
It was very scary. I made it though.
Yeah, if I'm driving a passenger, like, I don't mind during the daytime, but at night, I do try to avoid going through the canyons because it's so freaking dark.
Yeah.
And I'll go on, like, the GPS and I'll pick the much longer route
that's
on the highway, and I don't care.
Yeah.
Because I don't feel like having, like, when I drive through the canyons, I feel like my entire body's engaged.
Yeah.
I got my stomach sucked in, my butthole is clenched, my hands are at 10 and 2, I'm looking all around. Like, it's not a fun time for me, especially at night.
Yeah.
So I just prefer to avoid it. And the passenger complains. I'm like, well, get another ride because I'm not going through these dark canyons. And you waste more gas.
You do?
Yeah, because it's uphill mostly. And it's also a lot of, like, acceleration and deceleration.
I didn't know that you, like...
Yeah, so like, the best way to conserve gas is to stay at the same speed and not stop and go, which is why you get more gas mileage for the highway because you're just driving straight. So street mileage is always less because there's a lot of stop and go, and that makes more, your heart has to use more gas.
It's a little tip for
you.
A little tip.
So in the canyon, because it's like, you're not going like 1,000, though some people are.
Yeah.
It's a lot of like stop and go, lots of slowing your car down, speeding. So you waste more gas through the canyon. And I'm like, uh-uh. I'm taking the highway. There was 10 minutes more.
That is food for thought. You know what? Our New York listeners are totally over this, but our LA people, y'all appreciate it.
Yeah.
Yo, so let's get into some of these topics.
Wait, how was your week?
Oh, I didn't think you would ask. My week has been filled with work, lots of work stuff, church stuff. It's been a pretty cool week. I think I had a bout of sadness the week prior, but this week was definitely more positive and stuff like that. So I'm optimistic. A couple auditions. I went on. I want to audition today.
Okay.
For a commercial, and I was interested in. I always like to look around and see if I see anybody familiar.
Mm-hmm. Did
yeah.
you?
No.
Okay.
One day I'll be at an audition. I'll be like, oh, hey, Jada.
Do you know who I saw? Not at my audition, but in the place I was auditioning at. Uh-huh. I don't know anyone's name, so please forgive me. But the guy, I think he's going to be racist. Anyway, Indian maybe. He's the actor who played in The Night Of. The main actor, that guy. Who also plays
Riz?
Is that his name?
Yeah.
Yeah, I saw him at the place I was auditioning at.
I love him. I follow him when I deleted my social media, but I used to follow him on social media.
And it was just so interesting because I was like, is he auditioning? Right? Because he was signing.
Ahmed. Yeah, Riz Ahmed.
Yeah, he was signing into something. And I was like, wait, is he auditioning for something? And then I had this thought like about being like an actress. Now I was like, man, the grind never stops.
It really never stops. Like, it's so crazy.
Yeah, and I was like, because, you know, it kind of feels at some point you stop auditioning. They just call you and say, come do this role. Mm-mm. But he was there, and I was like, no, you just have to, because in my mind, he's made it.
Yeah,
but he's still auditioning at the same places I'm auditioning at. It was like this very like interesting moment. Like, oh, you know what? You will always gonna have to hustle like forever, forever, forever. It gets easier, of course, but.
But I was listening to a podcast because I love podcasts, obviously, and Amanda Seales, and she was interviewing Cree Summers, and she was like, well, Cree, you know, like Cree from a different world.
Yeah.
She's like, oh, you're at this point where people know you, so she does a lot of voiceover. You don't have to go. And she's like, no, I still go in an audition.
She has to, or she?
She's for some roles. She's like, some stuff, yeah, they call me in, but like, I got an audition.
Yeah.
Still. And it's just like to what you were just saying. Yeah. There's, I mean, it's some stuff you're going to have to audition for. I mean, I don't know if like Tom Cruise auditioned.
Right.
But like, I feel like if you're not, you know.
If you're not Tom Cruise. Yeah. Oh, so I was at this improv show last night. These really cool black girls.
Yeah.
Called Obama's Other Daughters.
Y'all should go check them out.
They're really great.
Funny, funny stuff.
Yeah. And they had they were honoring Loretta Devine.
Oh, I love her.
Yeah, she's
everybody's auntie.
Yeah. And they were showing a clip from her on one of her interviews on The Real.
Yeah.
I think it was The Real. One of those shows, I'm not sure. Anyway, they asked her, do you still audition? And she was like, yeah. She was like, you know, it's different. But she was like, she still has to go in and read and do chemistry reads and do all those things. She was like, I still audition. Even though everyone knows my name at this point.
Yeah.
It's still, like, this is still a process.
She gets that wig ready.
Gets that wig and, oh, baby, oh, baby. So.
I love it. I just love it.
The hustle continues.
I'm just looking at Riz. He's so good looking.
He's very good looking.
Riz.
He's not tall.
He's not. He looks so tall.
We're the same height.
We're all the same height then.
Well, I like men taller than me.
I like.
Angie likes her men ear to ear.
Somebody's got to date the little ones. I always say that. Like. I mean, everybody was a tall man. You know, I like to know. I want to see you in the eyes.
Yeah.
I want to see the top of your head.
Yeah, look over it. You want to look over the heads.
Only when I wear heels.
I don't want to.
When you lie down, you're all the same height.
Unless, okay, that's a lie. Unless his feet are, like, touching your kneecaps.
Oh! Okay. Hope you guys got a good check out of that. Let's get on some topics, girl.
Okay, so what I want to discuss first is this T.I.
T.I. Tip.
Tip.
Did anybody watch Rhythm? Is it Rhythm and Flow?
Yeah, I didn't watch it.
I did. I love it. And it was amazing. And you know, we love Cardi. You should watch it.
I'm going to. I just haven't had the time, but I do want to watch it. So he had an interview on a podcast this week, or
everybody got a podcast,
several podcasts, and he said that he accompanies his now 18-year-old daughter to the gynecologist to make sure her hymen is still intact. And I think this is the most outrageous thing I have heard.
Can he come in the room?
Yeah, so he said, I heard a lot of the interview just to like make sure, you know, sometimes you get a clip and it's not the whole, you want
to
make
sure,
no, it's the whole thing.
Yeah.
He was saying that he went, I think recently, and the doctor was like, oh, you know, she has to sign paperwork because, you know, she's 18. And he was like, you know, I think her name is Deja.
Yeah.
He's like, Deja, just sign this paperwork so I can know what's going on. And she signed it because that's her father, I assume.
Yeah.
So, yeah, so he has yeah. I mean, I assume that's her father. I assume she signed it because that's her father. And she doesn't want to have an argument with him.
Yeah.
And yeah, so he's now has the rights to be in the room with her while.
How does he have the time?
I don't even know. It's crazy. And I read the comments, and the comments are like, that's his child. He can father how he wants to father. He can father how he wants to father. That doesn't mean it's not problematic. You can do what you want to do. That does not mean what you're doing is not wrong.
Right.
And so so she actually is on Twitter, and she was liking different comments about what happened. And all the comments that she liked suggest that she's not in agreement with this. Ooh. So someone put a comment like, oh, that's overbearing, that's controlling, that's disgusting. And she liked and I think retweeted all those comments. So obviously this is not okay with her either, that her father is doing this, especially at 18 years old. And he said it in such a way that was like, this is normal. That is abnormal.
It is abnormal.
And he told a story about how, like, you know, it's after her birthday and then, you know, they're all exchanging gifts and eating. And he put a sticker on her door that says, we're going to the gyno. Like, what the heck? And that's what another clip. I don't watch the show, but for no particular reason, I just don't watch the show.
Yeah.
And the son, King, I think he's one of the younger ones.
Yeah.
He's apparently having sex.
How old is he?
I think he's not 18.
Okay.
And T.I. openly said on the episode, well, you know, I feel different about my son's having sex than my girl's having sex. And that's just like, that is double standard misogyny, like at its finest. You don't mind your 13-year-old, 14-year-old having sex, but your 18-year-old daughter, you're making sure her hymen is intact.
This just goes back to, like, my mom always says that women uphold society, but men, they tear it down. So we are the gatekeepers, and we have this, like, responsibility. But, you know, like, it's just, like, at this point, at what point do we train our men, our boys, the same way that we train our women? Because the double standard just kind of has to stop at some point.
And it's disgusting. And even weirder, in that interview, he said, so the one of the women says to him, like, oh, so you want her to be a virgin when she gets married, or something to that effect. And he was like, who wants a virgin? And I couldn't tell if he was saying it, if he was being facetious,
right,
or if he was being serious about that. He was like, he goes, no, the virgins are boring. And I was just like, so wait, if he is joking, then I get it. But if he's being serious, why is he doing this? I really don't understand if he's being serious about virgins being boring.
And that's the thing with him, is that what I don't understand is he being serious? Because then, or is he joking? Because did you hear, like, the podcast that he did with his wife? And then, so I guess he has his own podcast. Mm-hmm. And then, so he had his wife on there, and they were talking about relationships and stuff like that. And, you know, we all know what goes on with their relationship because it's broadcast. But there were moments where he was like, you know, he'd tell her, she'd try to make a point. He'd be like, oh, just drink up. You're thinking too much.
Oh.
And then so he comes off, and I'm like, is he joking? Like, it's like a joke. People are like, oh, I can't listen. He's so chauvinistic and stuff like that.
I don't.
And I'm like, I feel like part of it he's joking, and then part of it, I don't know.
That's
like,
who he is.
Yeah, that's who he is. And I'm just like, also, you know what you're signing up for, sis. I don't know.
I just
think it's invasive to go into the gyno appointment. They actually took that podcast down because
they said
so many people complained about it.
Okay.
They were like, that's not their opinion, you know, they're just, you know, hope, like if we had a guest on.
Yeah.
But I just think my personal thing is that she's 18. First of all, your father shouldn't be. I feel like that's just a touchy. Your mom should be the person.
Right.
But either way, she's 18. That's her. Just talk to your kids about sexual health and try to instill in them the values. But at the end of the day, people are going to do what they want to do.
Yeah.
And
they were saying, like, you know, and medically speaking, it's a fact that you can break your hymen by just living your regular ass life.
Riding a horse,
riding a bike, gymnastics.
Yeah.
I think I said a fall.
Yeah.
A tampon. Anything could possibly break your hymen. And then I was reading this thing about how virginity is a social construct. It's not a real thing, especially when tied to a hymen. Like, you can have no hymen and still be a virgin. And it's just, like, really insane that he's... And what's more insane is that he's saying it out loud. But this is people's lives besides his daughter. I'm sure other men are doing this. Other women are doing this, too. To their kids, like, monitoring their...
Yeah. If you're gonna
their hymen is just crazy.
Kids about your daughters about being virgins, and talk to your sons about being virgins too.
Because exactly.
Who are these people having sex with?
Right. Not other virgin women.
Exactly. So talk to these nasty little boys as well, because like you can't be like, oh, my son, blah blah blah. I don't, you know, he's just one of the boys. But then my daughter has to like hold up the chastity belt for society.
Yeah, and in my opinion, I think this is what breeds like secrets in sexuality, and like your kids doing things behind your back because they're afraid of, like, I can't imagine, like, my father, who, one of a kind type person, before I was even having sex, I was a very late bloomer. I think we discussed this before, maybe not. Very late bloomer. Before I was doing anything sexual, his thing to me and my sister, he was like, listen, just don't get pregnant. He's like, have sex, have fun, live your life. He said, don't get pregnant because having kids is a lot of money.
Yeah.
And it'll slow you down. But he's never told us don't have sex because he knew it's unrealistic.
Right.
And I feel more comfortable talking to my dad about stuff. We don't go into like full-blown sexual conversations, but I'll say to him, oh, I'm messing with so-and-so, or I'm dating so-and-so now. And of course, we're having sex. But I don't feel the need to lie to my father about my life or someone staying over, because he's made it clear that I know you're going to have sex and there's no judgment there. And I even remember like the first time I had sex...
You told your daddy?
No. But no, so my mother, she's more of that person who is like, oh, be virgin, blah, blah, that whole, like, I would lie to her.
Right.
So I remember my first time I had sex, small penis. So it took like literally 3 times to, in my mind, bust my hymen, right?
Right.
So we had sex the first time. It was whatever. We had sex like the following week, and I started bleeding.
Yeah.
And I bled so much, I had to put a pad on.
Right.
And I thought I... obviously acquired a disease or I was hemorrhaging, right? So I remember being in my mom's house, and it would have been nice to be like, okay, mom, like, this is what happened. I had sex today and I'm bleeding and I don't know what's going on, but I couldn't.
Right.
Because I knew she'd have so much judgment. So I called up Planned Parenthood and I was like going to go secretly meet them and discuss my hemorrhaging situation. But in the morning it had stopped. And one of my other friends who was more sexually active than me, she was, oh no, you probably just at this point,
right,
broke your hymen. Probably didn't happen last week because the dick is so small. But it was just like, yeah, that's what happens when your parents put some emphasis on sexual and make you afraid of it. You hide things and you lie and you sneak around because you can't go to the people who should be informing you like the correct things to do.
I think, yeah, I agree. And to some extent, I feel like my mom, so my experience, I don't even know how we got on this, but my mother was just like, don't do it. It wasn't even like, don't get pregnant. It was like, don't do it. So I didn't even know how you did it
right
until I was over 18.
Uh-huh.
I didn't know. And I don't even know how I found out. I think one of my friends was like, what? That's not how it's done. I was like, oh.
You didn't watch porn?
No.
Okay.
And I didn't know. Well, there we only had like, growing up, we had like, what was it, the HBO, and it was like the soft, like,
yeah,
like when they just you know, it wasn't like what they have these days,
right?
Yeah, so no, so I didn't know that. I had no clue, but I totally forgot what the point was after that rubbing my face onto that my hand for the soft.
You were saying your mom just said don't do it.
Yeah, so there was no conversation, and I think, you know, the funny thing is, I think that ultimately our parents want better for ourselves because none of our parents are virgins,
right?
So for me, my mom didn't wait till she was married. So mm-hmm. I think that also maybe she wanted me to be the person to wait. And I think I would love for my daughter to wait till she's married. But I think that also I'm realistic that she may not wait till she's married. Yeah. But I would want her to feel comfortable coming to me. But I think a lot of times it's just parents don't want, I don't know, they want the best for you in a sense, but then it's also, you kind of have to be realistic with your children and be like, okay, well, even if they go ahead and do this and I've done this and stuff like that, I also have to be the person, because you don't want misinformation happens,
mm-hmm.
bad decisions happens. And a lot of times it's like, you know, secret abortions and things like that, where you could be a parent in that situation and be a person that they can come to naturally. So right. I guess there's the divide between parenting and overparenting, and maybe that's, people think T.I. is overparenting. Like, I think at some point you have to trust your children.
Right.
To make the best decisions and know that they will mess up.
Yeah.
But also just be there for them when they mess up.
I think, like, and this is like a through life, through time, through history, is like people are afraid of education. Mm. And they feel like if you know too much, you know, you'll make the wrong decision. I think that's, especially for women, like women can't know too much. You know, like, yeah, it's the idea of you know too much, you'll do more type thing. But sometimes if you're educated, you won't do more.
Yeah.
Like, I think for me, learning about STDs in high school made me not want to have sex more.
Yeah.
Because I knew if I didn't do it the right way, if I used a condom or if someone wasn't tested, I could get a disease.
Right.
As opposed to just saying, don't do it. Don't do it is not enough. Tell me why I shouldn't do it.
Right.
And, you know, and if your reason why includes social constructs like being a whore and being a slut, whatever, right. I don't care. But give me a reason. Just don't say don't do it. Let me know what are the repercussions of not doing this thing. Because I got to tell you, those STD videos
are horrible.
They shut my legs down. I was like, I don't ever want to have sex. Why would I ever want to engage in something that will result in this?
Well, that's why I never wanted to do drugs. Because have you seen crackheads?
Right, exactly. And education truly is power. And people are so afraid of education.
Yeah.
I don't even know. I think T.I. is overparenting, but he's not overparenting for all his kids. So for me, this is just him being chauvinistic and misogynist. Because if he was overparenting, fine. No one's having sex.
Yeah.
That would even be more understandable for me. But to say to only accompany your daughter and to say it's okay for your son to be having sex.
Right.
That to me is just him being.
Because he could get the son. Boys get STDs.
They surely do.
You know. Pass her up.
And a lot of STDs, the boys don't even show symptoms.
Can we just say that again?
They be slinging that dirty dick all around town.
Yeah.
Messing up random girls' lives. We over here burning, itching, don't know what's going on. And they're like, I ain't got nothing. Meanwhile, they do.
Yeah.
So, yeah, they need to really be telling the boys stop having the sex. Because those are the dirty dicks.
Wrap it up.
Yes.
Wrap it up. That's a good one. Did you hear my little current event? Current fact. Did you hear that, on a lighter note, Chipotle is paying for business degrees?
You know what, Angie? Well, I gotta go. I'm gonna apply for a job. Because that's
business
amazing.
And technology degrees.
That's really amazing.
Isn't that amazing?
It is.
So not only you get that good food, because now they got steak and...
Yeah, they do. Yeah, they have steak now. Yeah. Carne
asada.
Yeah.
So, not only... And the guac.
And I love the queso.
Is it?
I enjoy Chipotle's food. I mean...
Can I just say we're not paid to...
Yeah, we're not.
Because last episode we did definitely talk... It was two episodes ago. We talked about the Chipotle. You get the
wing
taco.
We love Chipotle, really. Yeah, that's funny. We're not getting paid. Yet. Chipotle, if you're listening...
Hey, Dos Virgos Holla. Podcast at gmail.com. Yeah. free sponsorship. Anyway, yeah. But yeah, I feel like, and it just goes back to this country and the education system. Mm-hmm. It's just so expensive to go to school. And are you still paying off for school?
Yeah, but that's my fault. I had some trips. I did some study abroad trips.
Oh, you did go study abroad.
Yeah, yeah. And I did. And I just took out a loan one time. So just because you know I could.
Do you, okay.
I didn't have to pay for college. I just messed up my life.
Are you using your college degree?
No. well, we went to school for theater, so I mean, I guess I am using it. But I always say about college, for me, I feel like my greatest resource was the people I met.
And my experience.
I feel like in the arts, you know, a lot of the, you learn stuff, of course.
Yeah.
But I feel like who you meet in the arts program is really your greatest accomplishment, because they're still doing things and you have more connections. And so I will say, yes, I'm using my degree.
Yeah.
However you can use a theater degree.
I feel like, I feel like college is beneficial, because I work a regular job. So it looks good to have a degree. No matter, it could be in pottery, the damn degree.
Yeah.
It's a bachelor's degree. And so I feel like for that reason, if you're for side hustle alone, it's good to have a college degree and not just have like, but yeah, I feel like, you know, with theater, it's just kind of like, you can go to acting school, you can get a private coach, you know, people have no training and they just walk off the street.
Right.
Not me, but you know, like, and then they get it. So it's a give or take with that. But for just the benefit of me as a person, I feel like I am glad I went to college.
Yeah.
I am glad. But if Chipotle is going to be paying for business degrees, y'all, I think some people need to go and just get on that.
And I like that it's business and technology. Like, actual fields that will make you money.
Exactly.
Because,
like, it's not in restaurant business.
Right. It's not in a field that you're going to still be struggling once you get out. So exactly. I think that's really good of them to, like, have it be in a field that is, you know, a money-making field. That's right. That's very nice of them. I appreciate that.
Yeah. I agree. I think more jobs should do this also.
Yeah, definitely. Especially companies that can afford to do it.
Yeah.
And that's how you retain your employees. Because now I'm invested.
Yeah.
Because honestly, I don't care about your carne asada, but if I'm going to get a degree out of this,
I care.
I mean, as an employee, you know what I mean?
Oh, okay.
As an employee, it's like, I don't care. Yeah. But if I'm going to get a degree when this is all over, then of course I'll work harder or I'll stay or... Now it's like a mutual, besides the paycheck, because honestly, like, $14 is not enough.
Right.
But a whole degree for free, that makes me want to be a better worker.
Fact though. So, we'll be right back.
Okay.
All right. So we're back. In other news, I feel like we should be like news reporters.
We should. I think we have the voice and demeanor for it.
One of my guy friends says I have a unique voice. He was like, it's just, you don't sound like anybody else.
Mm-hmm. I can see that.
I was like, now if I could just book some voiceover work with this unique voice. Anyway.
Get your Cree Summer on.
Yeah, you know, I gotta work on my cartoons. Show a little thigh there.
And my ash.
A little ashiness.
Mm-hmm.
I need to shave these fur babies. Okay. Woman was awarded over $200,000 for alleging a San Antonio cop removed her tampon on the street during a body cavity search.
Effing insane.
So what happened was she was waiting on the curb. She was chilling by her car and the popo had rolled up and they was like, yo, can we search your vehicle?
Yeah.
And she didn't want to say no because, you know, they out here shooting us, right?
Right.
So she said yes. I don't know if I would say yes, but maybe I would. Uh-huh. And then there was nothing in the car. So then they did like, it was like a bunch of male cops. And then, so then the woman cop, I guess, was patting her down. Got a flashlight and then shined the flashlight in her poo-poo-poo and then she saw like the tampon, I guess, and then she thought stuff was in there. So the lady said that she pulled out her tampon.
The lady cop did it.
The lady cop pulled out the tampon and exposed it to everyone, right? And like shined the light on it and then proceeded to do a cavity search.
I'm sorry, in the street?
In the street.
No, she should have got more money.
In the street, she should have gotten a lot more that money. Her cavity was empty.
I'm under arrest.
What would you do?
Well, you know what? Now that I know they get money for it, I'd have been like, oh, please don't open my legs wide. I didn't know all that happened.
Yeah.
She should have got a much bigger award because she's not under arrest. Why are you doing cavity search? I'm not under arrest.
And she said, why did you do that? And she said, I thought there was something in there.
First of all, as a woman, you are another... First of all, okay, I'm not under arrest. Let's start with that.
Yeah.
So the fact that you're doing a cavity search makes no sense. I'm not under...
I thought they did the cavity search at the jail.
Exactly. I'm not under arrest. I am allowing you to search me. You have not arrested me for anything, so why would you do a cavity search? Why are you putting your gloves in my vagina? Like, I'm not at a jail. We're in the fucking street. There's bacteria. First of all, you know me. I'm all, you know, Angie, you know I'm freaking out because I just think about all the bacteria in this girl's hoo-ha right now. From a street, a curbside cavity search? Oh my gosh, no. She should have gotten more money.
And then I also think, what day of it was it of her cycle?
That too.
Was it day one? Was it day two?
If it was me yesterday.
So like all LAPD gotta see your business? And why are you holding up the tampon?
I just feel,
nobody said stop. Enough Claire. What was her name?
You know, I didn't read the story. I saw the headline and I just, like, you know, thought it was crazy and moved on.
Yeah.
I thought that a male cop did it, mm-hmm. which is wrong, but, you know, men.
Yeah.
But to find out that a female cop did it is so much worse because you know exactly what that thing in my vagina is, a tampon. What do you, you know what this is.
and, was about a key of coke.
And to take it out and show, that is so embarrassing.
With the flashlight.
With the flashlight. Like you said, what day was it? Was it still clean?
Yeah.
Is it dripping on the sidewalk
oh,
now?
Oh, man, if it was clean, it probably hurt to pull out.
Oh, I'm sure it hurt to pull out. Oh. That's crazy. And, okay, so now, wait, I need more of this story. Okay, so they take out her tampon.
Yeah. And then she proceeds with the cavity surgery.
Okay.
It's empty up there.
And then, is she given a clean tampon? Does she not have to go back home and re-up because she was on her way somewhere and there's no extra in her car? Like, how is she going to get where she's going now with no tampon?
I gave her back the old one. Now she gonna,
she going to ruin her outfit, ruin her car seats.
How do you go on with the day? Like,
oh, my day's over. I'm actually going straight to the lawyer. I'm actually going straight to my lawyer because we getting paid. But she didn't get enough money.
200K is not enough?
No. Are you kidding me?
She said that, and I quote loosely, I'm paraphrasing, but she said that no amount of money would, you know, get over the embarrassment. That
a million.
For you to move on with your life?
A million. After lawyer fees.
Right?
Yeah.
And,
yeah. Because,
tax-free.
Tax-free. Because, no, honestly, I mean, I think that's so, it's so crazy because they did a cap. I'm not a lawyer. But I just never heard of a cavity search without being under arrest. Not even being out of jail.
Or just a
but
street
if she's
side.
Not arrested, how are you doing a cavity search? That doesn't make any sense to me.
I love that you said curbside.
It's like when you go to McDonald's, they bring your food out for you. Freaking curbside cavity search. That shit's crazy.
That is wild. That was probably one of the most shocking things that I read. I was just like, wow.
Wow is right.
Wow. I mean, I'm terrified of being pulled over. I'm just terrified of police.
Yeah, me too.
It's just, at this point, everyone's getting shot these days.
Yeah, I was listening to this podcast about, like, crime and, like, you know, because there's instances where people pose as cops.
Yeah.
And they are not cops. Actually, yeah. And also when cops have been the killers and they will pull you over and arrest you and rape you and kill you, whatever it is. And they were saying that what you're allowed to do is if you're like on a dark street, like if you're driving through the canyon and a cop pulls you over, you are allowed to put on your blinkers and keep driving until you get to a public area.
Okay.
And you are allowed to call the base and see if this cop is on duty, if they're a real cop. And I was like, that sounds great. Then I was like, but I feel like that's definitely white privilege.
Yeah, that's, if you're a white woman or man,
yeah, you
feel free to exercise your phone.
Grab your phone and call somebody. I'm at this point, I'm better off having to fight off my killer. I have a better chance of fighting off this possible murderer than I do of surviving a routine traffic stop by a cop and pulling out my phone to call and see if he's actually a cop, which is really scary and sad to say, but it's true.
It is. And I'm definitely pulling over and announcing every movement.
Yeah.
I am now reaching to my bag to open it slowly, 10 and 2. Yeah. So, yeah, that was my current event. What you got?
Well, on the topic of race, so I want to discuss, like, who is able to say the N-word. This is probably a much longer podcast. This is his own podcast in itself. But I'm talking about it because Gina Rodriguez from Jane the Virgin.
Right.
She was recording, like, an IG live or recording something.
Okay.
And she said, nigga, while singing a Lauryn Hill song or singing a Fuji song.
What song is that?
I don't know what song it was. And she got a lot of backlash for it, and people are saying she shouldn't say the word. And so some people, like, some people are saying, well, she's Latina, so she can say the word. Some people are saying, well, the word is in the song, so she could say the word. And it's a song she's been singing for years. So here's my take on it.
Okay.
Because I know some people do not believe that Hispanic people... First of all, if you're white, you cannot say it. Okay.
Let's get that.
If
out
you're
the
Asian,
way.
You cannot say it.
Let's
start with those two. You can't say the word. Moving on. I'm not even gonna go into detail
what
about
if
that.
You're Indian. Can Rakesh say it?
This is what I'll say. So I met this guy, and he was Moroccan.
Yeah.
And he.
They're African.
They're African, right?
Yeah.
And he looked more like Arab to me. Well, right. Obviously it's the same mixture, African Arab, whatever. And I did not think he was African.
Right.
And he said, nigga, and I was like, whoa, hold the phone. some African. I was like, all right, my nigga. Like, okay, right? Okay. So it does depend, I feel like, on where you're from. Okay, so my take on Puerto Ricans, I'll say, okay, so from the East Coast.
Yeah, and we have a whole different culture.
Yeah, and we pretty much only know of Puerto Ricans and Dominicans.
Yeah.
Like, that's who's in our hood.
Yeah.
We know other ethnicities. We know other Latino existences.
We love Panama, but y'all are Caribbean.
Yeah, but in the Bronx and in the five boroughs, I guess, really.
Right.
Dominicans and Puerto Ricans, those are the two main Hispanic groups that we deal with.
Y'all are heavy up there.
Yeah, so when I hear, like, a Bronx Dominican and a Puerto Rican say nigga, it doesn't even trigger. It triggers nothing for me.
Right.
Because, like, we're literally one and the same.
Right.
Like, we live, like, I don't know, like, when I grew up in Hunts Point, and now there are black people there, but, like, when I was growing up, it was mostly Hispanic neighborhood.
Oh, okay.
So, like, hearing, like, Dominicans and Puerto Ricans say nigga does not trigger me whatsoever, because we're, like, so grouped together.
So when J-Lo sang it, tell my
and nothing is triggered. Nothing, Cardi B, nothing is triggered to me, nothing. Right. That's just how we talk in the Bronx.
Right.
And most of the five boroughs, I'm not including Staten Island, I don't know what happens out there, I assume it's the same thing. Where is
that?
We're Staten Island?
No. Have you ever been to Staten
I've been there twice.
I've been there once.
I went there because I got a prom. No, I didn't get a prom dress, but they have a big mall.
Okay.
In the Staten Island Mall.
Yeah.
And we went there to look at prom dresses. And then I had a Groupon for a couples massage in Staten Island, like, many years later. And I've been there twice. That's my extent of Staten Island.
I shot a show there, and I swear, it's like the Sopranos live out there.
Yeah.
It looks like that. It looks like
you're
in Long Island, some part of Long Island.
But yes, I had to Google Gina Rodriguez and see where she's from.
Right.
Because if she's from the hood, honestly, I understand it a little more.
Where's she from?
She's from Chicago, Illinois, but she's from...
You got mad proper.
Yeah, because I was, like, Googling all the... Let me see. Like, so she's not from the hood. From what Wikipedia described of her neighborhood, it's not the hood. It's, like, middle class, kind of suburban. If I'm wrong, I'm wrong.
Right.
But that's what Wikipedia described it as.
Right.
And therefore, I'm not as comfortable as her saying it, unless if she was from, like, I don't know, Chicago, wherever they're getting killed at, that place.
Yeah.
If she was from there, I'd be like, nah, niggas, what she says.
Right.
But if you're from the suburbs, I'm not as comfortable.
Okay.
And that's even, like, how I'm not as comfortable as West Coast Hispanics saying nigga, because... It's a lot more separated in California.
Yeah.
Black people and Hispanic people. And, like, it's not the same, like, homogenous group that we have in New York. It's a lot more racism between Latino cultures of California and black people.
Yes.
So when they say it, I'm also like, watch your mouth.
Yeah.
Because I'm like, you don't have the right to say it. Like, that bothers me.
Yeah.
And same thing, like, with, like, you know, there are a lot of like Habibi stores in New York and stuff like that. Like, they just turn into black people at some point. I don't know how it happens. You be like, hi, Habibi. They be like, what's up, my nigga? You be like, I'm here with a chopped cheese. I've never actually had a full chopped cheese sandwich. I've tasted one. I've never had a full chopped cheese
sandwich. You know, what's so funny is that when I went back to New York and stayed at your crib.
You had a chopped cheese?
No, the homie did.
Oh, yeah.
The homie Tim.
Yeah.
He had a chopped cheese. And he, like, from there, he was like, oh, get up. I mean, I just missed the bodega. Like, I mean, he was yelling at me.
Yeah.
It was great.
Yeah, I know.
He was like, what do you want? I was like, it's been so long. I'm in California.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Taking my time.
Yeah.
But yeah, so to me, it definitely is, like, okay, also, like, Evelyn Lozada.
Yeah.
From Real Housewife.
She doesn't trigger me.
She had, the girl on the show, what's the girl's name?
OG,
yeah. She said, you're acting black. And I've never... Evelyn has never seemed acting black to me. She just seems like she's acting like a Puerto Rican from the Bronx. Right. Like, I was like, that's just how Puerto Rican from the Bronx act. That's not black.
Yeah.
So for me, it's definitely regional.
Right.
Also, who gets to say that word?
Right.
Who's outside of the, who's not black. That's how I feel about it.
I kind of like, did you hear Trevor Noah's take on it?
Uh-uh.
So I side with Trevor Noah on this because they asked him, I think he was on the Breakfast Club or whatnot, and they asked for his commentary on it and stuff like that. And he was just kind of like, because they're like, oh, it slips out when you sing the song. He's like, no, it doesn't. And then he was like, Charlamagne's like, Charlamagne, like, you never, everyone knows how to self-edit. He's like, yeah. You have parents, there's yeah. no, you never let the yep. curse words, like, slip out. Yep. He was like, you'd be like, you self-edit yourself. So, you know, he's like, it's not like you don't know the curse words coming. You yep. don't know the N-words coming. Like, it's, oh, it surprised you.
Yep.
So I was like, that's so true. He's like, his thing is like, you can say it, but just know there's consequences.
Agreed.
If you say it, agreed. Anybody can say the N-word.
Right.
But you got to take everything that yep. come with it. And I yep. feel like that too. Like, hey, you know, go ahead.
Yep, I agree.
Somebody's going to be messed up about it.
Yep.
And I was just like, and then I feel the same way. I feel like in New York, the culture is different. And I feel like I'm not triggered by Spanish people saying it in New York and stuff like that. I do agree that it's different in LA because mm-hmm. I feel like watching Snowfall. I just didn't know we were so divided right. over here. Like, you know, and I just love Spanish people the same as I love Black people. But over here, it's like a totally different culture right. than we grew up with. And to see that gang life and everything and all that, how they talk about Black people and how Black people talk about, but I mean, Spanish people is really talking bad about Black people.
Yeah.
So that, in that case, that N-word coming from them is really coming with some, like, visceral and
yeah, it's not the know, same.
It's not the same. Yeah. So yeah, I think a lot of times it does have to do with, like, unfortunately, like where you're from mm-hmm. and how you grew up and stuff like that. And if you're hesitant at any point, just don't say it.
Yeah, I was so funny about self-editing.
Yeah.
So you know, I drive Lyft.
Yeah.
And I had these two. I assume they were Russian or some Eastern European girls get in my car.
Yeah.
And they were like, I'm not gonna do their accent, but they had an accent.
Yeah.
And they were like, oh, can you play Tigger? Sorry, Tiger. What's his name?
Tiger.
I yeah. say Tigger because I'm retarded.
I was like, it made me think of Big Tigger. Remember Big Tigger?
He was cute, but he has such a big nose. I don't think he's cute at all. Who was he dating? He was dating...
Who was he dating?
Keisha Knight.
Pulliam.
Yeah, and then they broke up, and then she got pregnant by the other guy.
The crazy guy, right?
Yeah.
Okay. I hope you're doing well, sis.
Yeah, just get back with him. I mean, although we don't know what that situation was like, so that's maybe true. Not.
But she's doing all right, single mom.
And yeah, she got money. She's fine.
Yeah.
She better off.
Yeah.
Okay, so these two white girls get in the car and they're like, oh, can you play Tyga? Thank you. I was going to do it again. And I was like, sure. So I put on some song. Oh. I'm not familiar with his music, but a lot of niggas
yeah.
in his music. And when I say those girls knew every word, but they self-edit the fuck out of that. Yes, they did. I was waiting to hear it. I was like, got my car.
Were you about to hit the brakes?
Yes. I was waiting to be like, got my car. You can walk wherever you're going. They self-edit the fuck out of that song. So
you can self-edit.
And at some point, he's like, nigga. And I was like, how are they going to get through this part?
Yeah.
Silence. That's how they got through it. And maybe in her head, she was like, nigga, waiting for her to come back in.
Yeah.
And maybe at home, she sings it. Maybe in the club, she sings it. I don't know. But
are you singing it, Becky, in your bedroom by yourself?
Do you? I don't care. What can I do?
Yeah.
But in the presence of me, a Black woman,
yeah.
they did not use the N-word. And I had no... I'm fine. I cannot be offended. So you people do self-edit.
Right.
It's not, no one has, you know, nigga Tourette's. So.
Like some people do. Like so the white person.
Which one? At the CBS? Yeah. She do got nigga Tourette's. You're right.
Some people do suffer from it. So, you know.
But yeah, I definitely agree. And anything in life, I feel, I actually had this conversation recently and I had to tap out because it was going nowhere. And the conversation was about repercussions.
Okay.
And also repercussions as a celebrity.
Okay.
And dealing with the backlash of the things that you say.
Yeah.
And it's like, oh, well, so something you said 10 years ago should come back and haunt you. And it was like, well, it will.
Yeah.
First of all, let me say this. Currently, if I'm correct, there's nothing I've put on social media that will come back and haunt me in the event that someone digs something up, right?
Right.
And if there is, I will take responsibility for
exactly.
it.
Exactly.
That's the thing. If someone dug up something I said when I was 13 that may have been homophobic or
right.
racist
right.
or any of those things, you know what? I'll apologize and I'll say I was 13.
Who's the same person they were a year ago?
Right, a year ago, honestly. Yeah. And so for me, I'm like, dig it up. If I said it, I said it, and I'll take responsibility for it.
Right.
I don't feel that, like, it's wrong to dig up someone's past and hold them accountable for things they said, especially right. if they have now changed their views.
Exactly.
If I feel like it's only a problem if 10 years later, I'm like, yep, still a racist.
Yeah.
That's exactly. Now I'm problematic.
Yeah.
But yeah, life is about repercussions and about consequences. And it's just like, just deal with them.
Yeah.
Just deal with them. Actually, I was having a talk with our friend, Tyshawna.
Hello,
and we were
Ty.
Talking about the cancel culture and being able to be redeemed, to redeem yourself. And it was like, it is hard for Black women to redeem themselves because they're not allowed to be. They're not allowed to redeem themselves, you know, whereas Black men, like Kanye is doing the absolute most.
Right.
And people are still like buying Yeezys, which are expensive and ugly. And they're also into his album. And it's like, he's also very much a Trump supporter.
He is a Trump supporter. Well, I mean, I was reading something. Is cancel culture a thing? Like, should that exist? I feel like nobody's past redemption in my book. I feel like if you're really...
Yeah, I feel like it's, you know, it's a thin line, I guess, where cancel culture is. I feel like because there's so much canceling without education.
R. Kelly's canceled, though. Let me just say that.
We agree.
Yeah.
Yo, it's so,
some
yo,
people...
It is so hard to get through a 90s R&B, like, playlist.
Without...
I'd be in my car, like, I'd be, like, jamming to, like, Google 90s R&B
it's
list.
In there.
Yo, I got halfway through, what's that song? Beep, beep.
Ignition.
I got halfway through
you
Ignition.
Was right?
I was singing it. And I was like, fuck. And I had to turn it off. But I got halfway through it because I was like, it's a good song. But no, he is canceled.
I believe I could fly with my fifth grade. Like
That was also my graduation song. That was everyone's graduation song. Meanwhile, this man got people held captive. I don't mind cancel culture as long as it's educated.
Right.
I don't like if it's like word of mouth. Oh, we're canceling so-and-so. Why? Oh, I heard he did something. No, do your own research.
Right.
No, you should know why you're canceling someone and you should believe in it.
Right.
Don't do it because the masses are doing it.
Right.
Do it because you believe in this.
Right.
And in that respect, I say we should have... People should be held responsible to the fuckery they're doing.
Yeah.
People are doing some wild things. They should be held responsible for it. I think it's okay to be like, you did something.
Yeah.
You have to be... This is how we teach children. Now that you're adult, you just do what the fuck you want to do.
Yeah.
Now you're a celebrity, do what you want to do.
Right.
No, you did something crazy.
Yeah.
So I believe in cancel culture as long as it's educated.
Mm-hmm.
I also believe in... allowing people to redeem themselves.
Yeah, I believe in redemption. I definitely do. Kanye's not canceled to me. I feel like he's going through. I feel like he's definitely a lost soul, I think, in some stuff. And I don't know. I don't hate the Kanye album. Asia, you do.
I don't hate it. It just didn't... I'm not sold.
He's not sold on
it. Yeah, like... You ever hear an album and it's like, you know, from that first go around, like, this is your shit.
Lord,
Help
Miss Education.
Right.
Oh,
every song
bad.
Just
I
hit you like you heard it before. Kanye is he's very talented.
Super
I would
talented.
Never say anything about his talent. The production on the album is amazing. Like the music, the instruments. The words.
You didn't hear a banger in there.
I didn't. I had to hear it a few more times to confirm this.
Yeah.
But currently, nothing was like, I got to hear it again right now. I'm
and
out of rush.
That has nothing to do with him. That's just you on the aesthetics of the
That's
album.
That's just based on that alone. But I do not support him currently because he is a Trump supporter. Yeah.
He supports our current president.
Yeah, and I think that's crazy because our current president is a racist. He's racist. He's homophobic. He's a xenophobe. He's literally everything bad. So I cannot support someone who openly supports someone like that.
Mm-hmm.
And I know there's this line between artists, like, how do you separate talent from who they are? They are honestly one and the same because it's hard to be two people.
It is, yeah.
Like, if we're going to cancel, like, R. Kelly also great musician.
Yeah, you're like, oh, musical genius. He's, yeah, okay, great. But
he's also a freaking rapist
and a
pedophile.
Yep, yep, yep.
So it's, I don't know. I was thinking about this. I was like, who would I be able to separate the two from? I was like, maybe Will Smith. I don't know. Will Smith is so lovable.
He is so lovable. He's,
I don't know what, if he's a pedophile, no, I couldn't separate the two. But
well, people then threw Bill Cosby under the bus and he
rapist.
Poor Bill. I mean,
See? I don't know.
The Cosby Show was such a big part of folks' lives.
It was. I don't know. It's all these people, as I say, dibbing and dabbing into problematicity. It's my own word. I'm going to patent that.
What is the meaning of this word?
They're problematic.
For the masses?
Mm-hmm.
I see. I'll mm-hmm. you on that. Mm-hmm. I want to say thank you and congrats to Nicki Minaj on her citizenship.
Right.
Trinity to the bull.
Good for her.
And her relationship. You know, people are hating on, I was reading up on that, they're hating mm-hmm. on her boo thing. I ain't got no man, so I can't really judge. but you know, they say he's a rapist or something, but he was 15 and the girl was 16. That's what I heard.
Okay, so.
That's what I read.
That's what I was hearing also when I was, okay, but then, so the whole story with that story is that
yeah.
he did put a knife to her throat and he forced himself upon her.
Oh my
God. So the bigger story isn't the age, it's the actual rape that he did of his girlfriend.
A knife?
Yeah.
Ooh.
Yeah, okay, that changes things, right? Yeah. Because at first I was like, oh, it's just young people, you know, whatever. Yeah. But no, it was an actual like situation where he forced himself upon her. That's what the story is.
Okay, so no, that's totally different.
Though. That's totally different. That's problematic.
Again, I don't lie with that man. So I'm like,
right.
But congrats to that from one immigrant to another.
And you know, she's a citizen. Well, she can now be a citizen. So good
she
for
can,
her.
She can vote.
Yeah.
It's, you know, go ahead.
Woo. All right. Oh, so guys, this is our second to last episode.
Yeah, don't cry, you guys.
For season one.
Season one is coming to an end, yo.
It's been fun.
It has been fun. So we've enjoyed doing it.
Yeah, we really have. So next week, we're asking. Maybe we're even a little begging a little bit.
Yeah, come on.
Shoot us some questions.
We want to hear.
Shoot us your thoughts. We want to just read some stuff on air next week for our last episode of the season.
Yes.
So we would love to have some of the listeners, yes. to just, you know, talk to us. We want to speak back to you for our last episode.
Yep.
So please, if you have any time, hit us up on social media.
Yes.
Dos Virgos Podcast.
Yep.
Our email is the same as well. DosVirgosPodcast@gmail.com.
Facto.
Yeah, just let us know what you're thinking. Want to read it? Any questions you have for us? Please. Please.
Por favor.
Por favor, please.
I say please in French.
Look it up. Let's see what it is. Quickly. We can't have dead air.
What are you supposed to be talking about? Something else while I'm
Something else. Something else.
Oh, s'il vous plaît.
S'il vous plaît. Oh, right. S'il vous Everyone plaît. Knows that.
Yeah,
brain
come on.
Fart.
Por favor, s'il vous plaît.
Por favor, s'il vous plaît. Please. So that's it for this episode.
Yep.
Thank you for tuning in again. And we will be back.
Pakusap.
What's that from?
That's Filipino, please.
Pakusap. I'm trying that later on. All right, guys.
All right.
And guys and girls. Not just guys. Guys and girls.
Yeah, we have a wide variety of listeners. Gender non-conforming, non-binary listeners as well. We love you all.
Peace.